This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is Cruise Control. I'm Arif Roos, in place for Richard Bradbury, who's not here. And I am with, as usual, Mr. Daniel Fernandez. Say hello.
Hello, sir. And, you know, I'm actually starting to miss Richard. You know, there's no one for me to make fun of.
Yes, yes. We all do.
Yes.
We've got a little theme going on here this week on Cruise Control. But first, as usual, we'll be going through the news. And in the news this week, we'll be talking about the new National Car Project and the new Proton Saga. And following after that, we'll be reviewing the revised Proton Iris. But stick around for part three of this week's show as Mark Rain, the former vice president of Mercedes-Benz Malaysia, talks to me about how the brand recorded five successive years of record sales. But that's all for later. First, the news. So, first piece of news is the one that everybody's talking about, obviously, is the new national car. It's here, it's been announced by Miti themselves, and they've said that Dream Edge is the anchor company, and it's going to come with tech support from Daihatsu. Why? Apparently, it's because the government is confident of this relatively unknown company called Dream Edge and their business model. I think it's alignment of interest between the government and this company itself. Both of them have flat out said that they have a belief of building human capital, and Dream Edge is going to outsource contract manufacturers. It fits with Tun Dr. Mahathir's dream of advancing Malaysia's technological capabilities, as it's been said for the past year and a bit.
Okay, sorry, I have to stop you there just for a minute.
Sure.
But one long statement you just made,
yeah.
If I put it on paper and I cut and paste it, go back 20 over years, that's exactly what was said for Proton. Please continue.
You know, since it's been announced, the boss of Dream Edge, he's Khairil Adri Adnan, he's as well as the ministers, have been saying that it's 100% private funding. A lot of questions have been raised about right. that, especially, you know, the ministry might be involved.
And might, M-I-G-H-T,
yep.
is a government subsidiary.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of available cash.
Yep.
Is any one of those ringgit, you know, going to be transferred across to Dream Edge? That is the question a lot of Malaysians want to know.
Yep. And apart from the 100% private funding being put into question, there's also a lot of talk about the government leaving the door open for tax breaks, especially when related to the NAP. What will it contain? The AP issue is going to remain. And, you know, are we still going to see extremely high prices? And obviously later we'll ask the question of what will happen to Proton and Produa, who Tun Dr. Mahathir doesn't recognize it as the national car
exactly,
anymore.
Exactly, that's sad.
But first, you know, everybody's wondering who this new player is.
Dream Edge, explain.
It's a 10-year-old company based in Cyberjaya, led by Khairil Adri Adnan. They have a bunch of bases in Tokyo, Istanbul, Taiping, and Cyberjaya. And they're hugely involved in digital engineering services. So they provide computer-aided designs and simulations and all that stuff. So they're very good at design. I guess, you know, we know they're capable of that
right.
because they've developed a bunch of prototypes, cars, a lot of car technology inside it, as well as apparently the monorails that we've been seeing around.
Right.
But all this time, they've been sitting on those designs because they were waiting for funding to commercialize it.
Right.
And I guess also it should be mentioned that they did build some body kits for Protons, but I don't think we've seen those around at all.
Maybe we've seen them, but we just didn't know where it came from.
A little bit of background on Khairil Adri Adnan. He worked in Japan, I believe, Tokyo, as a systems engineer, and he has a lot of connections built. I think in 2012 or something like that, in the fifth year of Dream Edge, he was doing a lot of things for a Nissan with the electric vehicle technology and automated systems and all that stuff. He's also been in motorsports. Apparently, he has a lot of good connections with OEM companies and suppliers, which is all good. So we know that he and his company can pull this off. They're about 150 people strong. And what they're going to do is they're going to take Daihatsu technology, which, again, we'll go through what that means for the new national car project. But apparently, they're going to start building a completely new model with advanced technology and utilize existing competitive vehicle architecture. That's a quote there from Daihatsu. And they're going to take it on a four-point approach. They're going to introduce a new model with advanced technology, an exclusive model with a new approach to segmentation. The car is going to be affordable, and the company is going to focus on design, interior, user interfaces, noise, vibration, and hardness, as well as ride and handling. So it looks pretty good. Apparently a new model.
Sounds pretty good.
Sorry, we haven't seen anything
yet. Yes, sounds pretty good.
It sounds pretty good. So, I mean, a new model is supposed to be launched in 2021. A prototype is supposed to be out next year. Apparently, it's going to be a slightly bigger B-segment sedan.
Right.
Not quite a Civic competitor, not quite a City competitor. And the biggest part is the fact that it's not going to be an electric vehicle, apparently.
The whole idea of the third national car from the start was to get an electric vehicle for middle-class Malaysians to afford.
Yeah.
What has happened to that?
This whole year and a bit has just them been talking about advanced technology, autonomous systems and all that stuff, and especially electric vehicles. But then when they launched this, they said, oh, you know, Malaysians aren't too ready for that yet.
Well, looking at what has been put on paper here and which has been followed through on the website also and a lot of news bulletins, it looks like another Proton.
It does.
Exactly like another Proton. And my question now, and you heard it first on BFM, is why wasn't Dream Edge called in to buy out Proton before Geely came on board?
That's actually quite true because they do have quite an impressive track record.
Impressive track record. Yeah. They've done work before. They're in the car business some sort.
Yep.
They've got lots of money to develop a whole new brand.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got the backing of the government. So why didn't they buy into Proton to start off with?
They mentioned all of this and they're talking about mass production.
Exactly.
If the government currently thinks that this company can do the job right now, why didn't
they? Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, but there's a lot of questions about this, Dream Edge's approach to the new national car. We're going to go through all of it.
Okay.
And the first of which is, why not an SUV or a crossover?
Which is the most popular vehicles right now.
Yeah. And I believe you recently wrote an article about why the sedan is dying.
The sedan is dying. SUVs are just gaining traction. Of course, it's happening across the globe. But in Malaysia, it's happening even faster, at a faster rate. And you can see it with the new Proton X70, the Mazda CX-5, the Honda CR-V, and then let's not forget the Honda HR-V, which is runaway success. So why are they going for a sedan?
It's not even just why are they going for a sedan. Why are they trying to create a new segment in the sedan market?
Exactly.
But anyway, we'll put that aside. We'll wait for some answers. But the second thing, why no electric vehicle? We mentioned earlier, Malaysia's apparently not ready. And
so when will Malaysia be ready?
That's the issue. If we were talking about advancing Malaysia's technological capabilities and creating an efficient network of electric charging points, if you're going to pour this amount of money and probably introduce a bunch of tax incentives, why didn't they push the EV thing forward anyway?
And, you know, Indonesia is doing the EV thing in a big way. They've got factories starting up with car manufacturers, battery factories starting up. Thailand is also going that direction. Why are we retracting backwards?
Very true. The third one for me, which
this is the funniest part,
threw me off the edge, is the fact that the new national car project will be using Daihatsu technology. I'm going to let you kick off with that.
Okay, so Daihatsu, great company.
Yeah.
Not selling cars in Malaysia for many years because they are a partner with Perdua.
Yeah.
So the moment Perdua opened, Daihatsu went into the commercial vehicle market. The company is here. It's big. It's in Shah Alam. They're doing very well selling small vans, pickup trucks, and some bigger vehicles, but all commercial vehicle because that's the agreement. So now you've got them with the possibility of coming back into Malaysia with the third national car. Now, here's the funny part. First of all, Daihatsu hasn't got a proper car product. if you go on the global website, they've got a few small cars, but nothing really big. And all their cars are almost competing directly with what Perdua is doing.
Yeah.
And also with the Proton Iris and the Honda Jazz, because these are the small car segments. Yep. So I'm trying to figure out, why are you partnering with Daihatsu? Now, if they had said they are partnering with Suzuki, I'll say, okay, good idea. Because why? Suzuki has got a range of small cars. They are not in Malaysia at all. They've been gone for a few years. They have a big production facility in India. It makes a lot of sense for them to partner with them. But when you say Daihatsu, this sounds... okay, again, you heard it here first. This sounds like somebody is trying to push Perdua out of the picture.
It does, because almost all of the tech parts of Perdua, the engine, the transmission, the technological devices, almost all of it comes from Daihatsu.
Exactly. So the design is locally done, you know, but underneath it's all Daihatsu / Toyota because Toyota owns Daihatsu.
So exactly, why are we pursuing Daihatsu? I mean, I was looking into the history of it a couple of days ago. Mm. Daihatsu hasn't been present in any major global car market.
Yes.
Except for probably ASEAN and Japan.
Correct.
The last EV project they did was a quadricycle.
Exactly. And you know, 2 years ago when I went to the Tokyo Motor Show, I went to the Daihatsu stand thinking I could see something different, which probably could come here as a Perdua.
Yeah.
And all we saw were concepts.
Yeah.
Plenty of concepts. Plenty of K cars, and K cars are nice.
Yep.
Because Honda has K cars, Mazda has it, Subaru used to have it. K cars are great. They're basically small, boxy little things like the Perdua Canary.
Yeah.
So Daihatsu has got some really nice K cars. But the new Malaysian car project has mentioned that this is going to be a sedan.
Yeah.
So it can't be a K car.
What platform is it going to sit
exactly,
on then, right?
Exactly.
Before everybody jumps on, you know, saying that Daihatsu, oh yeah, Daihatsu is owned by Toyota. But when Toyota bought over Daihatsu wholly in 2016, Toyota actually explained that the role of Daihatsu isn't actually to innovate in terms of safety and technology and user ability and all that stuff. The role of Daihatsu really is to repackage Toyota technology and lead development of cost and fuel efficient technology.
What that means, our ability to take products that are not selling well anymore in first world countries and repackage them with a Daihatsu badge for second and third world countries.
That sounds very familiar. What, I wonder why, Daniel. But I mean, I think at the end of the month, we're going to be bombarded with a lot of technical information about this new national car. That's what the boss of Dream Edge said.
Yes. And it'll be good if we can get the Dream Edge boss on our show.
Well, Mr. Kyril, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on board to, you know, iron things out and straighten
and
some
explain
facts. Yes.
In detail, yes.
Now, moving on to our next story, something we told you all to tune into, it's the new Saga. A new Saga begins. It's been launched in three variants. It starts at 32,000 ringgit with a standard manual transmission option, and it tops out at 40,000 ringgit with a premium automatic version. The biggest headline, though, other than, you know, new brakes, new NVH improvements, a new 7-inch touchscreen, which is also quite a big thing. The big thing here is that the old transmission, the Punch CVT, also known as, to me, the worst part of every Proton, has been replaced by a 4-speed automatic gearbox.
Which is said to come from Hyundai.
Yeah, so, you know, it will last forever. Hopefully.
not forever, but it'll last.
Yeah. They've also upped a lot of the standard specs. It comes with ABS, electronic brake distribution, brake assist, two airbags and rear parking sensors as standard. But in the premium, they really threw a lot of things at it. So you get traction control now, a stability control, a reverse camera, as well as front parking sensors. This new Saga launch, I guess it kind of wraps up the whole Geely strategy in the past 2-3 years, doesn't it?
They've taken all the previous models.
Yep.
They've done all the revamps.
Yep.
Now it's time for the new Geely cars to come in.
They're saying the X50 will arrive next year.
Correct.
And Proton Prevy replacement will arrive in 2021.
Right.
People seem to be quite content with Proton's revised model.
Well, you know, looking at the new Saga, when I saw it in the flesh, I wasn't really taken aback. Yes, it's a nip and tuck. It's a nice nip and tuck, but it didn't really throw me off track and say, wow. Like the one in the Iris, yes, I liked it.
Yeah.
But this one, what threw me away was the interior. So I actually did a whole article just on the interior because I thought, kudos, well done to Geely on just reviving that dated, boring interior. And they made it so fresh and inviting.
We'll hear more about what Proton has been doing, facelifting and how that's been executed later on in our car review of the new Proton Iris.
Correct.
But we have one car launch to go through.
Yes.
It was the Audi A7 Sportback.
Mm,
610,000 ringgit. Mid-spec as usual, but it comes with all the gadgets, as we've mentioned about Audis.
Right.
They're very generous with all of their...
Fully imported. 610,000 might sound like a lot of money, and a lot of people will be hesitating and saying, wow, this is S-Class territory. Yes, it's Mercedes S-Class territory. But the Audi A7 Sportback is a large car. It's a very nice coupe-like shape. And if you actually see it coming in your rearview mirror, it looks like an R8.
And it is certainly in the S-Class quality range.
Yes, yes.
With that, I think we should head to the break.
Yep.
And stick around after the break as we'll have Daniel's review of the Proton Iris. And stay on after that as Mark Rain, the former vice president of Mercedes-Benz Malaysia, tells me about their exceptional growth in recent years. See you after the break. This is Cruise Control on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is Cruise Control. I'm Arif Roos, and as usual, I'm joined in the studio by Daniel Fernandez. Say hello.
Hello, Arif.
Now, before the break, we spoke at length about all the details of the new national car and the revised Proton Saga. But before we talk about the new 2019 Proton Iris, don't forget to talk to us on Twitter at BFM Radio and stalk our Instagram at BFM Cruise Control. So, Daniel, the Proton Iris, take it away.
Okay, this car was launched a few months ago. There were some negative, initial negative feedback on the launch of the car because the Iris, when it first came out, I still remember driving it a few years ago. The gearbox was a little bit, I would say, irritating. Not that it didn't work, it just was a little bit lethargic in its changes, you know. So if you're sitting at a traffic light and you want to make a quick dash, it takes a, you can actually count 1, 2, and then only it starts going. Yep. But once it starts going, it's okay. So little things like that. NVH wasn't the best noise, harshness, and vibration. Ride quality was okay. Comfort was okay. In-car connectivity and functions, fine. No problem.
Overall, I guess it was a very mediocre car.
It was okay for what you paid. And of course, at that time, the Myvi was still king. Even though the Myvi was not far better, but the Myvi had so much followers that, you know, people just looked at the Iris and said, you're not giving me something that's wow for me to divert my attention away from a Perdua showroom and buying a Myvi.
Yeah.
So the Perdua Iris sort of suffered. Now, when Geely came across, they looked at this and said, hey, this is a very nice design. It is a very nice design. It's got nice packaging, but it's missing some parts. So what they did was they looked at it, they dissected it, and they realized that they had to make 300 changes. This 300 changes can be small, right down to maybe a washer or a nut or bolt or a feature or even seat material.
Yeah.
But they did look at it, and I have to salute Geely. I would say salute, because a lot of people say, you know, instead of spending a lot of money and doing 300 changes, let's just do 30 and let's do enough to just make it look good and then try and sell it off to the punters. But no, they wanted it to be really good. So they even changed the way the gearbox worked,
yeah,
the suspension, sound insulation, in-car connectivity, and even seat material. Now, why did they change the seat material? In this class and this segment, you know, you want something a little bit spotty.
Yeah.
They actually made the seat material turn out looking spotty.
It comes with all of those like linear patterns.
Yes, and with some stripes in it.
Even the rear seats has a bit of bucketness.
Yeah,
about
the, but the red and blue stripes on the rear seat, I mean, that's nice. It's a nice little feature to have.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, we took the car for a test drive and we thought to ourselves, okay, you know, we started with a yawn, you know. I mean, how much better than this car be? But actually, I have to say, you know, and this is not sugarcoating at all. I don't want to sugarcoat this because I am actually quite harsh with Proton.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with Geely coming in, they've taken away sales from a lot of other car companies. So I didn't want to say, you know, like, you know, special treatment. But I got to say, this car actually surprised me. You know, this Proton Iris, after its revival by Geely,
yeah,
made so much of an impression to me. You know, handling was better. Gear shifts were much smoother. It almost felt like I was driving a car one segment up. But what really got me, after 4 days of driving the car, I returned the car, I was taken away by it. It's got the talkie-talkie feature on the center dashboard, you know, the Geely infotainment system, which you can talk to it. It's got a nice drive. It's economical. It looks better now because it's got a little tweaks on it. But what really got me, and this question is still haunting me, and no one in Proton can answer me, is why couldn't Proton develop this car like this the first time?
In the first place, exactly. My auntie just got an Iris.
Okay.
And she's very happy with it. The new one.
Okay.
She was considering Jazz, the new Myvi as well. And I initially told her, just go ahead straight for the Myvi, you know,
right.
No questions asked.
Yes.
It's a reliable car. But when she got the Iris, I sat in it thinking, all of these panels, the materials may have slightly changed.
Right.
The panel gaps are all better. As you mentioned, the cloth on the seats.
Yeah.
Everything about it just makes it seem like these are the things that you've missed.
Exactly.
And, no, and I've come here to fix it. Yes, that's what Geely did.
And you see, it's very depressing for me to say this because I'm Malaysian and I love being Malaysian. I don't want to be anywhere else in the world. But if you talk about Proton having the best engineers, the best designers and everything else, why couldn't they do this from the start? For Geely to do this, everything had to come from Malaysia.
Yeah.
Seat material. Mm-hmm. The change in engineering, the change in materials, the change in NVH, you know, the rubbers and everything else. Everything had to come from Malaysian vendors. So we already have people here who can do a proper car. We already have the engineering expertise. Yes, you have Geely engineers coming in, but they are not like guys who've been in car engineering for the last 20, 30 years, they are also new to the car game. But what made the difference is they did a good, honest facelift on the Iris.
I agree.
And I'm very impressed with the car. And I think it's worth, I mean, the one I tested, that 1.6, the top of the range, is 50,700 ringgit. That's 7,000 ringgit cheaper than the previous top of the range Iris. So can you imagine doing all this and still making it cheaper?
I believe the new Myvi starts at 52, 53.
Yes, yes.
So this begs the question of, yeah, exactly. Why couldn't they do this in the first place? Especially considering that when it was introduced, I think 2013, the Myvi that we all knew of, the facelift, was on its way out.
Correct.
This was such a great opportunity to punch up.
Exactly.
And, you know,
and there was so much hype on this Iris.
Yeah.
We actually looked at it at the design and said, wow, you know, again, Proton have always done good designs, but they just couldn't get it right.
What's the biggest highlight of this car?
The biggest highlight of this car is, I would say, space.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of space in the car. It's a hatchback, yes, but it's a big hatchback. Number two, it actually corners and drives like a perky little thing. You know what I mean? So
if As
you
it should.
Yeah. So if you compare it to cars costing 70, 80, 90,000, which is the Japanese makes, it's actually side by side, almost a direct rival. Of course, the Japanese engines are a bit more smoother, a bit more better on fuel consumption. But this car is coming so close. And that saving of 20, 30,000, I wouldn't say no to this.
When people start asking about a Honda Jazz, this is a car that you would put as an option.
Exactly. Last time, you would not even consider having it side by side.
Yeah. What do you think about the design, though? Because I think that black line on the boot lid changes the whole car.
Well, a lot of people have commented on it. I've never been one to comment about design because design, I think, is very personal.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm looking at a sweater and I think it's really ugly right now. And then you might look at my t-shirt and say it's really ugly, but I love my t-shirt and you love your sweater. But this is a kind of design, general design of the car, which will last 5 to 8 years easily on the road.
What did you think about this talkie-talkie thing inside the Iris?
I'm not a big fan. I wasn't a big fan of it in the X70 or in the Exora or the Persona, simply because I don't like talking to my car. I know the younger generation love it. My kids, when they see these cars, they love to get inside and start talking to it and everything else. But the fad is slowly running out.
It's not going to become the headline of every Proton promo.
No, but
anymore.
I think it's a great selling feature. I think it's a great showroom appeal. And I think it's a great way to close a sale.
Okay, shall we go to the six-point inspection?
Why not? Why not?
So, first question, obviously, who are its competitors?
Competitors, I would say, direct competitor, of course, the Perdua Myvi.
Yeah.
Moving up a notch, and they might get upset with me, but it's a fact, direct competitor, Honda Jazz, basic model, Toyota Yaris, basic model, both starting at 70,000 ringgit. 20 grand more. So, these are its direct competitors. If Geely were to bring in X50, then the game will completely change. So we'll talk about that later.
When it arrives. Next question. What does this car do better than the competition you mentioned?
Actually, I can only talk about the talkie-talkie bit. Because it doesn't do anything better than the competitors.
It's on par.
It's on par. It's not better. But you see, at 50,000 ringgit, it's better in price.
Well, the next question then would be, what do you think it needs to be better than the competition?
It's the engine. I think if it had a much smoother, much forgiving engine, you know, in terms of the higher revs, I think it'll move up a notch.
I think part of that is due to the transmission. We just saw that the new Proton Saga comes with
it. Saga has got a new transmission,
yes. Yeah, so do you think that will improve the issue?
It will, but you see, there's no point doing it now because this car has got too much expenses put into it already.
Yeah.
I think when the next Iris comes out, the second generation Iris, Geely can solve that problem.
So question four. Has the facelift removed all the horrendous quality issues and would you consider them fixed?
I would consider it fixed, yes.
And what's better equipped, this or the Myvi?
The Myvi is better equipped.
Yeah?
If you take the whole list of things
that
the Myvi has and this has, if this has got 50, I think the Myvi's got 52.
Just about.
It's just about there.
Final question, just to wrap things up on this Malaysian special. You know, we heard a lot about the new launches of the new Proton Exora, new Saga, the Persona, and now the Iris. So how would you rate Geely's revision of the Proton lineup right now? Confident? You're confident of it?
Very confident. Very confident. It actually shows me that they are serious about doing something better with Proton. And it actually shows me that, you know, they will be a force to be reckoned with. And Perdua needs to really play their game very well right now. Perdua has never missed a beat. They've been on the ball 24/7. But this time, they got to be on the ball 25/8.
Right, that was the review of the 2019 Proton Iris by Daniel Fernandez.
If you want to know more about the Proton Iris and the review, come to dsf.my.
Yeah.
The pictures are there, the review is there, all the facts and figures are there.
Before we head to the break and part three of the show, just a recap of what we spoke about earlier on in the news. First, we talked a lot about the new national car and who Dream Edge, the chosen anchor company, is. And then we discussed a little bit about the new revised Proton Saga. Now stick around for part three after this, as the former vice president of Mercedes-Benz Malaysia, Mark Rain, tells me about how Mercedes-Benz Malaysia grew to dominance in recent years. Stay tuned to Cruise Control, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.